There's a couple of things I want to say. I got some stuff I want to get off my chest. I want to talk to married folks, single folks, separated folks, because I feel like there's some things that have gone unsaid that need to be clarified. Stay tuned. What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Saul, the podcast. What up? What up? This is Dominique. I'm your host, and we're just checking in. First of all, I want to thank everybody for listening to my 199th episode, which is great. And this is my 200th episode. I didn't even know what I wanted to talk about on my 200th episode, but sometimes stuff just be coming to me and I'm like, I gotta like hash this out. So I wanted to talk to my married friends, my separated friends, my single friends. Just, I think we need to have a little chat, because sometimes I think some of the lines have been blurred, and I know I probably have had similar episodes where I address some of these issues, but we needed a 2024 episode for sure. So out the gate, I need to talk to my married people, because first of all, I need you all to remain married. I need you all, if you can. Now, this is if you can. So I don't want a whole bunch of people being like, oh, you don't know the circumstance, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not your marriage therapist or your pastor or your counselor. I'm just saying this is purely and strictly, if you can, do me a favor. Please stay married. And I say that with everything in me. And this is, it's not necessarily on me, on some religious stuff. This is just with my whole being. I'm telling you, do what you can to stay married. If you got a, you know, hopefully you're a member of a Bible teaching church that has a marriage ministry. If you need to get a marriage counselor, get one. If you need a personal therapist, get one. If you need a financial advisor, get one. If you need a hobby or a babysitter or of something, get one so that you stay married. Because sometimes what is being presented to people, or there's this idea that the grass is greener on the other side. And let me tell you, the grass is not greener on the other side. There are just too many adjustments and enhancements that people can make these days to make you feel that way. Most of the grass is fake. There's a bunch of BBLs and man wigs, and there's a lot of luxury that sometimes folks feel is attached. There's a lot of freedom that people think is attached to singleness that it ain't really what it looks like. Stay married. And from the perspective of people who are single, the field is saturated. We need you to stay everywhere you are. And we don't really need any more competition. And to be honest, even though there appears to be a lot of different options, because sometimes people are just solely invested in getting their feet wet and trying to figure out what opportunities they might have. It's not what it looks like. The other thing, especially for people who've been married 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 20 years, there are so many different issues and challenges connected to being single these days that perhaps weren't those days. Like, folks are dealing with unaddressed trauma. There's STDs. Baby's mamas and baby's daddies ain't quite the same as they used to be. Like, it's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. Stay married. Please. If you can. If you can stay married, stay married. That's just my most humble advice, because it is not what it looks like. And I think also we have made grand this idea that there are all these options, and then you can download these apps on your phone and you can swipe left and right. And the reality is, even on these apps, there's algorithms, and you're almost being controlled by whomever these mysterious algorithms want to give you access to. It's not sexy. It's not what somebody told you it was. And I'm not saying be unfaithful to your partner or spouse, but I am saying you may want to ask somebody. you may want to jump into a conversation with somebody who is endeavoring to be in a relationship, that is navigating single life. You might want to talk to them about the realities of singleness in 2024 if you are wondering if it's easy on this side. That's just my piece to note, because sometimes people have mistaken mindset about what is happening, and it ain't happening. Now, if you're divorced, I'm not hating on you at all. And I think it's very clear to say, because I have a lot of very close friends that were married and they couldn't remain married for whatever reason, and they're divorced. I'm not hating on you. I'm not telling people, I'm not judging folks. I'm not telling them what they can or cannot do. I'm just offering some things to consider. If you're divorced and you are thinking seriously, I don't care how long you've been divorced, because I think that there's this idea that the longer that you've been divorced, the more likely you are to not have baggage. I've dated a couple of divorced people, and it's not hot as it. It's just not. It's not what... So anyway, I'm not going to go in there because I don't want to dog divorce people, but I do want to say, if you're divorced, you know, you're welcome in this world of singleness. It's not, there are a lot of benefits to being single. Not everybody is called to be married. Like, I recognize all those things. There are a lot of benefits to having the freedom to do what you want to with your time and your money and your resources. On the flip side of that, of course, there are beautiful things to do in collaboration with a life partner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here are the things that I think divorced people need to be thinking about. Have you done what you need to do to heal? And I'm not talking about, like, have you forgiven another person, or do y'all set the record straight? Are you amicably co-parenting? I'm not talking about that. Have you done what it takes to heal? Because if you haven't, whatever it is that you have not healed, you're bringing that into your new relationship. And I guess on the flip side of that, if you haven't healed, because some people, they experience healing as a result of being in relationships with whomever their life partner is, right? Like, maybe they got divorced and they met someone and that person really helped them to heal from the trauma, the past, things that they were in. I think you got to be upfront about that. If you're out here dating and you have not healed from your past relationship, specifically if you are divorced, like, that's a conversation that you need to be having. And to be honest, like, everybody has baggage, whether they were married or unmarried, but I think we just have to be more honest about, because that's going to show up. Like, when the honeymoon season is over, if you are carrying baggage from a previous relationship, it's going to spike to the surface very quickly after the facade and the makeup and the Jordans are untied. Like, it's going to come to the surface. So, you know, really think about the place you are from the perspective of healing and what expectation that you might have of somebody that you're with. And I'm just saying this, I want to be very clear. I do acknowledge, and I think that particularly people who did start over after getting a divorce, I think a lot of folks would agree that their second relationship or whatever number of relationships that was post-divorce, there was a lot of healing because the person that God intended for you to be with aided you in that process. I know that that's real. So that's one. I think number two, and I think, and this is for everybody, but I'm talking to married people or divorced people in particular, are you honest about, or at least let me put it this way, are you honest with yourself about the lifelong attachments that you have in connection with the person that you used to be with? Because sometimes, like, you're, you know, throwing your hair to the wind or, you know, living free, and that's what you are presenting to people who you are interested in being with. But the reality is you have a lifelong attachment to your baby's daddy or your baby's mom, or if you don't like those terminology, your child's parent, other parent or whatever. And it's not just that. It is what that spouse or significant other who you had a child with remarried. There are all these different connections and soul ties that sometimes is very difficult to release. And sometimes the issue is not necessarily the choices that that person makes, but sometimes it's hard to get over who you used to be married to or entangled with, and you experience jealousy that you are not willing to name or accept, right? Like, that you say you moved on from that person, but you haven't really. They're just no longer available to you. And, or you feel intimidated by who they chose after you. I think that's important to grapple with, right? So, are you honest with yourself about what you say is behind you and its potential to be connected to you forever, right? I think also too, like, especially for recently married people, men and women, you need to consider, because sometimes, like, you're just free and you're enjoying life and you're, like, trying to get your body count up, and you forget, or maybe you don't know, or maybe you are not considering the fact that whatever you do in that whole phase or that intermediate phase, it's not just you putting the past behind. Each of those decisions that you make with your body in particular impacts the future relationships that you will have. So whether it's who you have sex with, who you become emotionally involved with, any of that, all that, you can't assume that those things are just things that you do and they're detached from what you're going to be doing next. Because sometimes people have had more traumatic experiences navigating the in-between stages where they're not emotionally, spiritually connected to anyone. So they're just out kind of like a free agent. And the decisions that you make as a free agent matter, right? And I'm not talking about the decisions necessarily that everybody knows about, right? I'm talking about who you text at night, like what apps you have downloaded on your phone, you know, the wink to an unavailable person, like the attachments that you made, all that stuff matters. And it's not to say that divorced people need to be more concerned about that stuff than other people, but I'm just talking to divorced people. So I think the other thing, now this is unpopular. This is probably an unpopular opinion, but I'm gonna say it anyway. You're married until you're not. And this is gonna sound judgmental, I don't care. I have a lot of friends who have been manipulated, strung along, mismanaged, harmed, because now, and it's a two-way thing, right? They have accepted people into their lives, into their hearts, into their bedrooms, into their intimate spaces, into their business, who are not fully available. If you are still married, I don't care how long you've been separated, I don't care where you live, if you are still married, you are not available. You are not available. Like, you need to go through the process of getting a divorce, because you, more than anything, are dragging the person that you're dating along because you cannot fully commit. If you can't hop on a plane and go to Vegas and get married today, you are not available. You are legally tied to somebody else. And I don't care how free you feel, I don't care what permission you have given yourself, it's unfair to the persons that you're trying to be in a relationship with. And I just want to say that because that's just a little bit of a pet peeve for me. I think single people, and I'm talking to myself as well, I think we can do better. Let's see, how do I say this without shooting my own self in the foot? I think it's important for us as singles to identify our definition of dating. And honestly, like, a part of the conviction that I have, my personal conviction, is often that, like, I'll download the app or whatever, I'll get the party started, but I won't follow through. And I think that if you are seriously interested in dating, I think you gotta just go for it. You can't be having a month-long conversation with somebody on the app. I mean, on the flip side, you don't need to be meeting them the same day that you connect with them and having sex either. Now, no, that's maybe your business, but you listen to my podcast, I'm just telling you how I feel. Like, I think you have to be careful and you have to be protective of your heart and your body. But I think we have to define what dating is. And it has to be germane to the season that we're in. But I think we have to be honest with ourselves about how much our definition of dating has matured over time. If you are still dating in your 40s the same way you dated in your 20s, something is wrong with that. And I think you also need to consider that if you're dating other people, ideally your definitions of dating match so that you don't harm other people, right? Like, are you stringing somebody along? Do you have the intention of being married? Do you want to be in an intimate relationship? Do you want to be monogamous? Like, what is your plan? what is your plan? And as single people, we also have to ascertain how much of us is really invested in being with another person, right? Like, if I'm an introvert and I like spending time with myself, when I'm dating, I can get into it, but I also, there's something always in me like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm giving a part of me, who I am, away. Right. And so sometimes I can recluse, or I can draw back because I don't want to lose that part of me that enjoys being by myself, enjoys going shopping and doing things that people like to do together. I enjoy doing that myself, and I don't want to lose that. But I also do realize that if I'm serious about dating, I gotta check that, right? I gotta, if my definition for dating aligns with me progressing towards a relationship that God honors, I cannot be going back and forth about how much of myself I'm willing to give to another person. And I think it's important to have that conversation with yourself. How available am I? How available am I? And not just like my physical self, because sometimes we are very much physically available, but not spiritually, mentally, socially available, right? Like, I'm not socially available today. Or like, we get to places in our life, maybe economically, or, you know, just we get to places in our life where we don't have a lot of bandwidth to like be open to a lot of different things that people go through. And if you don't want to hear a whole bunch of drama, if you don't want to be open, like, you're taking on somebody else's life, right? So whatever they're concerned about, you become concerned about. Whatever happened to them at work, it happened to you at work, right? Like, you are beginning the process when you're dating of becoming one. And at the moment that you figure you had to do enough to ascertain whether you even want to be one with that person. And at the point to which you don't want to be one with that person, you need to cut it off. That's the second thing. Single people, you don't have to be tied to people that you're not interested in just because you're bored or you want somebody to text. We got to figure out, so if there's somebody that, like, we all have this, and I'm not judging people. I'm just saying we got to be honest about the people in our phone that are people that we go back to in seasons and times where we have a need, whether it be spiritual or natural or physical or emotional. All of us have somebody that we don't necessarily want to be with, but they're good listeners. We need to just stop using them for that need to be met if we have no intentions of being with them, right? I think also with singles, and this is particularly for my singles that are Christians, that are a part of Christian fellowships. You don't have to date everybody until you find somebody in that same space. Like, you got to be prayerful about the who, what, when, and where. And one of the realizations that I came to, especially after the last couple of experiences in dating, and I'm one of those people that, like, I can't, like, I don't have a lot of exes or people who I dated that I'm disconnected from or that I hate or that I don't talk to, or, you know, pretty much any of my exes could text me and I would text them back. And it's not on some, like, weird stuff. Like, I just choose peace, right? Like, if it didn't work, it didn't work. That's not indicative of, or it doesn't mean that, like, we can't be friends or we can't communicate or stay connected in whatever way, right? I think I'm probably Facebook friends with every ex that I have ever had, like, literally. But I also know how to draw the line. I also know how to create boundaries, because the reality is we're not going to be nothing. That if we was going to be something, we would have already been it. And that ship is sailed, that time is over. And so I think that I might like your Facebook page, but I'm probably not going to like text you seriously. Like, it's probably not going to happen. And the other thing is, if you get in a relationship with someone else, the moment that you feel like you're getting serious with that person, you need to be thinking about how you're going to adjust the relationships that you have with other people for whom you have been serious with or intimate with or together with or married to or whatever. Because whether we are willing to admit it or not, like, feeling insecure about how somebody feels about you is not necessarily something that only just weak people do or jealous people do, right? Like, I don't want to hear you go out on some long review of what your ex posted somewhere or what they said or they text you to relive a situation. I don't want to hear that, right? And it's not because I'm not a secure person. It's just, why are you investing time in that human? You know what I was going to say, but I cleaned my language out because I don't know who's listening to this. But I wasn't going to say no cuss word either because, you know, you got to clarify that because, folks. Yeah, I just, you know, anyway, I thought that I would have this episode because I feel like sometimes we don't article ourselves about the stages that we are in, and we think that what we don't have is better than what we do have. I think it's important to find peace in whatever stage of relationship that you are in. You gotta find peace there. And a part of finding peace is doing the work, right? Like, so if you're single and you're trying to find peace in your singleness, you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta be invested in self-care. You gotta be defining what it means to date. You can't be giving parts of yourself to people that can't commit to you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You gotta be more than a booty call. If you're divorced, you gotta focus on healing. You gotta focus on self-care. If you're married, you gotta focus on maintaining the spark in your relationship. You gotta focus on bringing your best possible self to the relationship. You gotta focus on getting to know that person. Like, there's so much work that we have to do that we can't ignore. And, you know, it's better to invest in finding peace and harmony where we are than thinking that something that we don't have is better. Because more than likely, it's not. And I think better comes as a result of whatever we are working towards. Okay, I think that's enough. I'm gonna say a word of prayer for those of you who are still listening. Father, I pray that whomever is listening has heard something that has sparked something in their mind, their heart, their will, to do something differently, to think differently, to approach a relationship differently. And I pray that in their pursuit of happiness, in their pursuit of peace, that you would be at the center of that work, and that you would guide them, and that you would lead them, and that you would direct them, and that they would bring you glory in their relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.